all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And he is welcoming you back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday, February 7th. Coming up this hour, the new House Republican committee dedicated to conspiracy theories, the deep state, Hunter Biden's laptop, horse dewormer as a COVID treatment, gas stoves, M&Ms, and now Chinese balloons. We will preview this week's opening act of this made-for-TV panel. And one of the first to testify before this new House committee is Senator Ron Johnson, surprising nobody. Also, Chad Holmes and the latest from our Civic Media station in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio. A reminder, the February 21st primary is 2 weeks from today, and I hold in my hand here the absentee ballots that my wife and I filled out this morning. We are each other's witness on the ballots. That the witness has the sign in the back of the envelope. Be sure you include the address for the witness. It's not that complicated. Just got to follow the directions. Get those mailed in, or go vote on February 21st. But in-person absentee balloting starts today at many of your local clerk's offices, but you need to check with your local clerk's office to find out what are the exact hours that in-person absentee balloting is allowed. If you don't know who that is, go to myvote.wi.gov, and you'll find a link there by putting in your address to tell you who your local clerk is and who they would be. So that's going out in the mail along with these Valentines that I have to send out to the grandkids here before the day is out. 844-967-2789 is the regular phone number for the studio for many of our Civic Media shows. And then just because we're special up here in the 715, we have a second phone number that you could use as well, 715-388-7155. It doesn't get you in line any faster. It should, but it's just there because, again, we're special, and we'd love to hear from you, you know, anytime from 7:15 onward as we talk about some of the day's news. We have a question of the week over at the Up North News Facebook site. On Facebook, search for Up North News, specifically Up North News WI, to make sure that you get to us. And we are asking folks to tell us what is uniquely Wisconsin about their love story. And I talked in the last hour about meeting, you know, the girl of my dreams at a bar on Water Street at UW-Eau Claire. That's a pretty Wisconsin love story right there. And what's your own connection? Maybe it's you met over cheese curds, you know, or something along those lines, or at a uniquely Wisconsin place. We'd love to hear about it. Our reporter Sharita Booker is putting the story together. So you could send something to her at Sharita. And our parent company is called Courier Newsroom. So her address is Sharita, Cherita, Sharita at couriernewsroom.com. Or you could just go to that post on Facebook and put something in the comments that tells us your own uniquely Wisconsin love story. If you had a Powerball ticket for last night and you did not buy it in the Washington state, I regret to tell you that you're going to have to start over again and go to work today, because one single ticket in Washington state took the whole ball of wax, the whole $754 million Powerball jackpot. Again, that's $754 million if they went for the annuity distribution over 29 years. Most people opt in for the one-time cash payment, and that's just a measly $407 million. So, guess you're going back to work. As we've done last Tuesday, we took a peek back at the Sunday shows. I want to do that again here for the state Supreme Court race. Everett Mitchell, the Dane County judge, one of the four candidates for state Supreme Court, was on Upfront from WISN-TV over the weekend. And Matt Smith asked him a couple of questions about his campaign, starting with the fact that one of the other progressive candidates, Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz, it far outpaces him in terms of fundraising. And so Judge Mitchell was asked if that means, what does it mean that he trails in fundraising?
It says that I may not have a whole bunch of wealthy elite donors. It says that I'm on the ground and I'm going to depend on those ground votes. What I've said to a lot of people is that money doesn't equal votes. What it does the commitment that I have made in Dane County and throughout our state, I've planted seeds for all of the different places. And is that is what I'm, you know, focusing on right now, to be able to bring out those voters to be able to support, because they understand that justice is not just what you say, it's what you do. And I'm a doer, and I've been doing work that have benefited Wisconsinites and specifically those in our communities who felt the impact of my work, and they will show up at the polls for me.
And one of the issues in the race has been about abortion rights. There are the two conservatives, Jennifer Doro and former Justice Dan Kelly, who are almost certainly going to uphold the state's 1849 abortion ban. Mitchell and Protasiewicz certainly lean against it, as they state their values, and Judge Mitchell was asked about that.
What I want advocates to be able to know is, you know, my whole value system has always been that we respect those rights of those individuals in our community. Like, as long as I've lived, you know, the Roe decision has been the guidance for reproductive choice and reproductive health. You know, and just like, you know, those who say, well, you know, you're projecting what you may do. I said, no, we're criticizing rules of law and standards that we disagree with. Just like there may be a Supreme Court may have granted Plessy versus Ferguson, but that doesn't mean that I have to then accept separate but equal doctrine as truth in the way our society needs to run. So I think those who are listening to me should understand that part of my values have always been to support reproductive choice, but we also follow the rule of law, and we try to make sure that we are not tipping the hand of how we would decide, but are willing to be open and listening to the cases that come before us and the facts that would be presented at that time.
Again, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, one of the Supreme Court candidates. One more note on the Sunday shows, A.J. Byatpour is leaving Capital City Sunday at WKOW-TV, taking a job in Milwaukee. We just wanted to tip our cap and say just a fantastic job, and thanks for all you did, and wish you all the best on your new venture. We'll have more, including your calls, after this. You're up north.
And it looks like Pat is muted on the Zoom call.
I'm so sorry. You would have heard me laughing about too many puppies. That was Primus, huh?
Yep.
We talked about that in our last hour. All right. See, that's what you get when you got a cough during the commercial break. You should put the microphone back on. Okay. Primus. There. I now appreciate them. This segment is all for you at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. In our next segment, I will be talking all about the House Select Committee on Tinfoil Hats and Ron Johnson testifying before them. But in this segment, if you want to reflect back on any of our previous topics, including privatizing Social Security, as Mike Pence wants to do, or it could be who you think should have won the Grammy Award for Best Album and why, or you could answer that question, what is your Wisconsin love story? What is uniquely Wisconsin about something related to the special person in your life? Or go off topic, because we talk about just about everything here. Todd or Billy joins us to talk a bit about gun safety. Todd or Billy, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you. And this is relevant to your discussion of the tinfoil hat committee. I've just got off the phone yesterday with Ron Johnson, with Tammy Baldwin, with Mark Pocan, leaving messages for them to deal with the gun safety issue and support the legislation that vast majority of Americans support, and that's common sense. I'm an educator, and I'm regularly subjected to, my professional time is taken by preparing for active shooters, and every time my school district insists that I spend time on that, I'm going to be there. My elected officials are going to be hearing from me in one way or another about my displeasure with their lack of action on this issue. As an educator, it really bothers me to just prepare for disaster. If I see that my students are not learning to read, I don't just hunker down and try and figure out what I'm going to do with the disaster that ensues when they haven't learned to read. I take steps to make sure that they can learn to read, for instance. And so for educators, it's just a slap in the face to spend lots of time preparing for active shooters when we're not preparing to prevent active shooters.
That's a very good perspective because, again, you take care of the problem that exists in front of you, whether it's a difficulty with a lesson or the guns. The problem is the guns. It's not who pulls them. It's not mental health. It's not. Those are all excuses. We are the only country that refuses to take gun safety seriously. Seriously. We are the only country, the only, shall we say, developed democracy that values mass shooters over the lives of our children. Not we, all of us, but enough people with enough money behind them to win powerful positions in office who, frankly, care more about people who could be mass shooters than they care about our kids. And it's worth noting, as he says, take care of the problem that's in front of you at the moment. And if you don't be surprised when you have, well, the tragedies that we have now. I was going to pass on a couple of stories related to, our gun problem as it relates to my grandsons, because this was not any kind of an issue for us growing up at all. I mean, we all have different issues. Ours was, of course, nuclear war. We were, in the middle of the Cold War and, talked about where fallout shelters were and everything, but that never happened. Whereas, there are mass shootings every day in this country. And the one grandson who I believe was 6 years old at the time, my daughter got a call from one of his teachers saying, we had a problem with the young man. He was busy. He was standing on top of the toilets and goofing around when he shouldn't have been. And my daughter asked the teacher, well, how is it that he came to be standing on the toilets? And she said, well, that's actually what we do during active shooter drills is we, train the kids that, if they stand up on the toilets in the stalls, then a shooter can't see their feet and thinks that the room might be empty. And, my daughter's response was not as sharp as mine would have been, but it was along the lines of, this sounds like a you problem. I didn't teach my kid to stand on toilets. And so if you want to teach the kids not to stand on toilets at inappropriate times, you should let them know that this is for, only for drills and sadly any real situations that come up. And while it's kind of a chuckle, it's based in something that is just so horribly tragic. And not too many months after I first heard that story, we were with a couple of our grandsons. We were at another one of these, I don't even want to talk about the place. I don't want to give anybody ideas, but we were in a very large indoor place and suddenly the power went out. And at the same time, somebody dropped something, either a chair fell over or I don't know what, but it made a loud bang. With the lights out. And I swear to God, my heart has never dropped as fast as it did in that split second in the dark, with neither of our grandsons nearby because they were somewhere in this complex. And our first thought was, okay, you go that way and I'll go that way and we'll try to find them. But then it occurred to us, they're going to come back here to where we were looking for us. So only one could go out. And by the time we got to that point, the power had been restored. But in that roughly 10 seconds or something, the utter helplessness that I felt quickly turned to rage that this is still a thing. This is still a thing in this country because we have your Ron Johnsons, your Tom Tiffany's, your Scott Fitzgeralds, your Derek Van Ordens, all of whom are perfectly okay with what's happening now. And if they say they aren't, they're lying because their answers indicate they're okay. Their answers usually are along the lines of, well, let's arm the teachers. Let's put more guns in the situation, or let's get rid of the gun-free zone signs because that's what's triggering people, no pun intended. These are not serious proposals. There are serious ways to deal with this. We talked yesterday about the need to amend the Constitution to get big money, to get corporate money out of politics. It can be done. It's a high bar, but it can be done. The same has to be done to reinforce the notion that our Second Amendment rights are related to a well-regulated militia, that at no point did we think weapons of war that could fire dozens of rounds at a time were going to be the norm in American society. And it actually comes back to something that Judge Everett Mitchell said during his interviews last weekend, as well as Milwaukee Judge Janet Protasiewicz, talking about the difference between a progressive point of view in judicial races versus conservatives. The conservative point of view is this strict constructionist viewpoint that says we must follow original intent at the time, whereas progressives understand that times change. The Constitution is designed to be a living document, one that reflects who we are in that period, and that we can make amendments along the way, such as, you know, banning slavery, but we can also have interpretations that change with the time. Judge Mitchell talked about Plessy versus Ferguson, which was the separate but equal doctrine that guided education for many decades in this country, that said it was okay to have racial segregation so long as the schools were equal. The schools were never equal. They never were, and it was never the right answer, but it was the answer the court interpreted at that time. Thankfully, times changed to the point where when Brown versus Board of Education came up, we recognized the folly of separate but equal. And the same has to be done for the problems that we have in society today. And that even if you're going to go by a strict constructionist argument, then the only way you are upholding Second Amendment rights is related to muskets, because that's pretty much what there was back then. And if you're going to say that those rules about muskets are what apply now, then you as a conservative are never going to get my support for that, because it's not rooted in reality, the reality of today. We expect our judges and our courts to rule on situations as they exist today, not what people thought in 1849 when they wrote an abortion ban into the Constitution, not in the late 19th century when basically a quirk in one state or in one Supreme Court opinion said that corporations are people and that corporations should have free speech rights. Little could they have known in the late 19th century that companies weren't just hometown companies or American companies, but that they would become multinational corporations with billions of dollars in profit, with employees around the world, and therefore having no allegiance to the United States in the same way that an individual person would. Corporate personhood, if it didn't exist at this point in time, would never have a prayer of existing now if it were proposed. But it's what's on the books because of a precedent set during a time of immense concentrated corporate wealth in the late 19th century. And so there are so many reasons to vote, not just in this state Supreme Court race, for people who will rule on the law while also considering the circumstances today, but to also vote in other elections that will decide who sits on the U.S. Supreme Court, which we don't do directly. But every time you say, I'm going to vote for George W. Bush because I'd like to have a beer with him more than John Kerry, you're also voting for the Supreme Court justices that he ended up, you know, would appoint. And the same goes for when you vote for Ron Johnson to have another term in the Senate, he gets to say no, as he has many times, to slates of well-qualified judges, including most recently one here in Wisconsin. And you end up with the right-wingers whose decisions now are being essentially ridiculed, Remember the one that that took Trump's side in the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case? I mean, there are just too many people, and we should get Jim Santel back on the program, an attorney who talks about the near uselessness of some of the folks that Ron Johnson and Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell have put on our courts. It's a lot of work to get good judges in good positions and to amend the Constitution, but it has to be done. And the only way we do that is to stay engaged, to vote, to learn about all about the candidates, and to get others to vote on election days as well. It takes every one of us. Back to Ron Johnson and this new House committee investigating its own government next on Up North News.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful.
Just not enough Dr. Demento on the radio these days, is there? But it's time with that intro to talk about the new Special Congressional Committee on Tinfoil Hats, because surprising no one, Senator Ron Johnson has been announced as one of the first who will testify on Thursday to the House Republicans' new Special Committee. Something about the weaponization of government. You can think of it as a committee dedicated to conspiracy theories, the deep state, Hunter Biden's laptop, horse dewormer as a COVID treatment, gas stoves, M&Ms, and now Chinese balloons. And we will continue to amend the name of that committee as it continues to do whatever it is that it's going to do. The story about this from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that Johnson will testify about the alleged weaponization of the government against Republicans. Johnson will speak about the, quote, roadblocks he faced from government agencies as he tries to investigate President Biden's son, Hunter. That happened while Johnson was still chair of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs. Remember that Johnson, while chair of the Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, did next to nothing to prepare America for what would happen on January 6th. He was warned consistently that he was spreading Russian disinformation about Ukraine in the period before the Russian invasion. But Johnson will testify. He's part of a small who's who list of people who will testify, including his partner in conspiracy crime, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, and former Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, who recently quit the Democratic Party, a former FBI special agent, Nicole Parker, will also testify, according to the CNN report. A Johnson spokeswoman said in a statement that for years, Senator Johnson has warned the public about the coordination between government agencies, Democrat members of Congress, and the liberal media to censor the truth. The senator has witnessed firsthand the lengths these entities will go to obstruct and discredit anyone who attempts to provide transparency and facts that run counter to the left-wing agenda. All right, let's break this down a little bit. First off, as soon as you say Democrat members of Congress because you think you're being cute and clever, again, you've already told me you're not a serious person and nothing that follows is going to be taken seriously. But again, we have the liberal media mentioned, not liberal media. Trust me, the amount of frustration that I could be expressing on a daily basis with how traditional media frames political arguments and the double standard that's in them. Like I said, I could fill a very long broadcast day with that. But if you say liberal media enough times, some people will believe it. And in terms of, you know, the senator trying to provide transparency and facts, again, the facts are what's lacking in the allegations that Senator Johnson makes up. Senator Johnson is a master of saying, you know, people are saying. He doesn't go out and say, you know, that these two dots are connected when they're not, but other people are saying it. So, you know, that's That's something we have to look at. Well, you can look at anything. It's the old saying that, you know, a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich, but it doesn't make it a worthy entity of your investigations. But this panel, the official title is the Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, was established to look into purported bias in national security agencies, Lawrence Andrea writes in this Journal Sentinel story. The witness list from the subcommittee, which is under the House Judiciary Committee, indicates that the committee could scrutinize agencies from the Department of Justice to the FBI. It was not clear whether Johnson and the other witnesses will be questioned by the Democrats on that committee, who are doing the Lord's work in having accepted that assignment. Johnson will likely focus his testimony on his investigation, along with Grassley, into Hunter Biden's ties to a Ukrainian energy company while Joe Biden was vice president. But again, in that category of facts being stubborn things, no evidence of wrongdoing by either Biden has been made public. Hunter Biden has denied using his influence with his father to aid that company. Did he get the job because of his last name? Probably helped. You think that's the only time there's been nepotism involved in government and lobbying? Sit back. We got a list to share there if we're going to talk about that. And the most recent focus has been on Hunter Biden's laptop, which was the subject of controversy. Johnson has accused the FBI of suppressing information about the device and frequently repeats a claim that the FBI warning to him about passing along Russian disinformation was really a setup, that the FBI, for whatever reason, wanted to set up Ron Johnson. As if the FBI doesn't have better things to do. But, you know, Johnson dismissed their warning as a ploy. And as far as the laptop goes, we're never going to know, first, how genuine it is, but second, what, assuming it was genuine, what was on it originally? Because that thing has been handled by enough people in enough private places that there is no telling what has been planted on that thing in order to become, it's essentially the talking stick, you know, in some of these group exercises where only one person can talk at a time and you pass this talking stick around. And that's essentially Hunter Biden's laptop now, is it just goes from person to person to talk about it. And of course, this isn't the only investigative panel that House Republicans have formed. You've got the Oversight Committee, which has been which is being chaired by Congressman James Comer of Kentucky. And boy, he's been a piece of work already. This is the guy who says, we're really going to investigate the classified documents that were found at President Biden's residence. Well, what about the ones found at Mar-a-Lago? Well, we don't really see a need to look into that. We don't think that there's anything there. Well, but you don't know if there's anything there with the Biden documents. Well, that's why we got to investigate. It's just a vicious circle. And then, of course, there is the new China Investigative Committee that Congressman Fleece Vest Gallagher from Green Bay is going to be heading. And of course, we saw him on TV everywhere across the right-wing spectrum when there was a balloon in the air, which caused him to bark like one of those dogs in the grocery store parking lot. You see them sitting in the car nicely, but you can't help yourself. You got to creep closer to the car and try to say hi to the dog, and then the dog just starts barking like crazy at you. And that was Mike Gallagher and other Republicans this past weekend when a balloon went floating past the car. The balloon was shot down safely over water, as it should have been. It's being retrieved. We're going to get more intelligence out of it, I believe, than anything China could have got from a balloon. And yet, every bit of this is going to be part of a made-for-TV moment. Not all TV, of course. We're talking solely about right-wing TV, the channels. In fact, there will even be an investigation of, is it DirecTV, I think, that they decided that one of these right-wing news channels, Newsmax or something, you know, it isn't actually news, and it doesn't have enough viewers to be worth their time, and so they're dropping it. And now Congress wants to investigate these same Republicans that love to talk about free enterprise and the marketplace. But when the marketplace makes a decision they don't like, suddenly it's worthy of a congressional delegation or investigation. And Aaron, you said it perfectly last hour that let's not cover this like a regular investigation. Let's cover it like the reality TV show that it's meant to be, with handheld cameras and moments of drama. It's a show.
And I think we gotta have those moments where, you know, the side interviews afterward where, oh, well, I really thought that this is what was going to happen. You know, I didn't think that they would actually ask me for facts about the case.
You know, you will actually be able to do that. And here's why. We will have the video of any given committee hearing. And then every one of those Republican members will absolutely sit down for interviews with Fox News or Newsmax or One America or whatever the heck they all are. And then we'll be able to just grab a snippet from that interview and intersperse that as if it's, you know, the reality TV show interview. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
we should definitely do it.
Might have to do that. And if people accuse us of editing it to make it look like they're saying things that they weren't saying, we can just show them the original clips and that we didn't actually edit anything.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's an old political axiom that says you need to know when to stop talking and just let your opponent, you know, continue digging themselves a hole. And while I believe that there's going to be a lot of digging done by Republicans, they think they're going to be digging up dirt. I think they're going to be digging themselves a hole. But we're not going to stay silent and just stand by while they do it. You have to help people understand that they're digging a hole to nowhere. It's like when you were kids and you started digging a hole and you were going to dig a hole to China. And that's what Mike Gallagher is trying to do with his committee. If I keep digging enough, I'm going to get to China and I'm going to find what the real problem is. The real problem is that we have an opposition party in this country in this day and age that can't stand united with the country and its president to a foreign adversary, that they have to use, in this case, a balloon as an excuse to basically do the work of the Chinese government in trying to make the president of the United States look bad, rather than keeping their focus on China's initiative into doing this. Again, as I've said about the committee, there's nothing wrong with looking into everything from China's human rights violations to their trade violations to the way that they violate any intellectual property rights. Those are all fine and proper things to do. You could do that with almost any trading partner to make sure that things are on the up and up. My skepticism comes in what will result from that and what will happen while they're doing that investigating. Will they keep the focus on what is China actually doing and what kind of solutions could we all together as Americans do? Or are they going to be asking all the questions in such a frame that somehow it's President Biden who made China use slave labor? It was President Biden who gave permission for the balloon to go up or what have you. And don't laugh and say you're just making stuff up. Again, like Aaron just said, we're going to listen to the testimony and we're going to be able to find you some of those things that are being said. It's not going to take that much work, frankly. I mean, just yesterday in Minnesota, there was video I don't have to share with you right now, but members, Republican members of the Minnesota legislature, talking about how Democrats are working in cahoots with Satan to poison our children's minds in school. These are the caliber of folks getting elected to office in this day and age, and you can't just let them run around the playground. It's going to take some adult supervision so that the public, which does not want to pay attention to this on any regular basis, and I can't say that I blame them, but at least make sure they know the top lines of what is going on, that they're wasting your time, they're wasting our money, they are not focused on solutions that we could fully implement, and instead, like Ron Johnson, they're wasting money chasing conspiracy theories and other things that wear tinfoil hats. We'll be back with Chad Holmes. You're up north.
When you have a political party that has no problem lying, where they figure the end justifies the means, unfortunately, that has an impact in politics.
Yeah, Ron, we know. Chad Holmes joins us from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Chad, we've been learning all about Primus, the band, and that's which cut is that, Aaron?
That is the song "Jerry Was a Race Car Driver."
And what was the song earlier about the puppies?
Too many puppies.
Too many puppies. So we've learned a lot, Chad, already about Primus, the band.
Did I miss where somebody's bringing Primus to the State of the Union tonight or something?
No. We were talking about this day in music history, and their debut studio album dropped on this day in 1990, which means that I am 33 years behind the curve on learning about Primus, and I'm starting to appreciate them only now, for their song titles, if nothing else. But Chad's with us now from Bull Falls Radio. There are so many people that work their tails off here. It is not a matter of just flipping a switch and yodeling into a microphone. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes here, and Chad definitely does that, not just dayside with a talk show from 2 to 4 on weekday afternoons, but also covering high school sports throughout central Wisconsin. And this is definitely his busy time of year, shall we say. And we talked last week more about newsy things, especially the Wausau School District proposal for potential consolidation and such. And you were telling me that there's not really anything that has developed there in the past week. It's still out there, but you know, looking at for example the Wausau pilot and review, you know, people are still reacting to it, and perhaps that means we won't see any action for a little while yet, I would guess.
Well, I think you can't wait too long from what I've been told. I think something's going to have to be determined pretty soon, but at the same time, you can't really determine something unless you bring the people along. And I just think that it may take longer than some folks hope. I think there is a sense that something has to be done, but boy, right now, as you well know, it's sort of like the old story where if you don't have the votes, you don't bring up the vote. So it's like, I think we have to wait till the votes are there before we have any ultimate decision is made.
Which also means that there's certainly ample space to make, you know, changes, modifications to the plan. I mean, there are people concerned that their kids are going to be getting on a bus at 6 o'clock in the morning in order to get to the other side of town. And I think transportation is really a big one for a lot of folks. It's really a sticking point because people want schools in their neighborhoods as much as possible and don't want to have to, you know, bus all the way across town or ride for an hour if they don't have to. So there's going to be a lot said about that over the coming weeks, I'm sure. And so we appreciate you continuing to monitor that. But I suppose the main thing you're monitoring is no shortage of sports these days.
No. And I tell you, I was talking to somebody last night because for whatever reason this year, there are a lot more Monday and Saturday games.
Okay.
Like, feels like nights normally where I might have a little bit of time. This year, boy, they are just, the schedule has been a little bit jam-packed. So it has been a very, in the winter sports season, as you know, it's the longest season. It starts around Thanksgiving, goes until sometime in March, and it's a long grind, especially, you know, during the holidays and everything else. But we are getting close. I mean, next week the hockey playoffs begin, and then basketball after that. So we're heading down the home stretch.
Okay. Now you also, again, with the show from 2 to 4, I see. Yes, was it yesterday you were looking to talk to the chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party, Bill Conway? Did you get to do that? Yeah,
Bill was on. We had fun. I was annoyed yesterday because over the weekend I was really just annoyed with the coverage that we've seen leading up to the State of the Union. I thought a hatchet job. Put into the New York Times on the vice president yesterday, and you talked about the balloon a little bit, and it really gets frustrating to see the response where I don't know what the Republicans are saying the president should have done differently. Now we're hearing they're talking about some sort of protest tonight. I mean, it's and then you see these Republicans who have absolutely no interest in governing getting these prime spots on the Sunday shows, and even last night I get back from my game, I'm making my 10 o'clock dinner, and I'm checking out the social media, and then there's a guy named Pat Kreitlow forwarding a Tom Tiffany tweet with the balloon with Mao Zedong instead of, it'll be Joe Biden's face.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
I really appreciated that last night.
Happy to point out that the congressman for Northern Wisconsin, Tom Tiffany, is putting up, you know, racist imagery, putting, exactly, you know, Joe Biden's face on Mao Zedong's, you know, head, and putting that on a balloon. And that's what the congressman has the time to do right now. It's simply unbelievable. Let me come back to sports for a second. I don't think we got to talk about the, I think still anonymous announcer in Germantown at the high school game who called out the crowd for, you know, basically shouting at the ref too much. Aaron, I think you have the audio. I don't know if it's the full audio where we hear the play-by-play or if we just get into his rant, but why don't you play what we got here? And then what you didn't hear there was some of the applause from the crowd. And I don't know that I've gotten your take on whether that was the right thing to do, maybe a little too much, but understandable, or had no place from an announcer at a high school game.
It kind of reminded me. I mean, if you recall, many, many years ago, there was a issue in Cincinnati and Sam Weich got onto the microphone and, because the fans were apparently throwing snowballs or something, and he goes, "Stop doing that. We're not Cleveland," and everybody loved it.
See, now that's how you do it, with a little humor there. That's great.
I guess I don't have a huge issue with it because I'm fortunate when I'm doing my broadcast with the headphones on, and I usually are far enough away. But there have been times, even during the football season, one night, I don't like when I hear the fans, because some of them really do go too far. And it is a situation where we don't have the officials. So I'm not going to get on the announcer too much on this, because actually, I imagine there was a reason for it. By the tone of his voice.
Yeah, if you're hearing that tone, I can only imagine what he was hearing. And we probably would have felt the same way if we were sitting where he was. Chad Holmes on 2 to 4 every day. Do you have anything to tell us about quickly today or games you're covering tonight, or is everything TBD?
I'm working on something for the show. I got a hockey game tonight with Weston Everest, so that's always fun. My promise to the listeners today is I'm going to be a little more bright than I was yesterday. I was so annoyed yesterday because I just, again, I felt like the media was really jumping all over the president for unknown reasons this weekend.
It makes us sound, you know, like that announcer in Germantown. Thank you,
exactly.
Chad. Appreciate it.
Big smile today for me.
Have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll see you for more Up North News Radio tomorrow morning.